This podcast is brought to you by Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series. Do you like violence? Do you like smut? Are you tired of the stereotypical novels of werewolf romance out there and want something a little bit different? Then pick up Sparked Revolution, Book 1 in the Rising Dawn series by Rebecca Castles. Available on Amazon, in Kindle, and paperback. You too can become a sponsor of Stories Are True in the Fiction by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/STTATF or follow the link in the show notes. And welcome to the Middle Ages Comic Book Hour. I am one of your hosts, Jay Abraden, and with me is Ryan. How are we doing, Ryan?
I'm good, mate. How are you doing today?
You know, living the life.
Living the dream.
No, I changed it. I said living the life. So, yeah, so we're going to do another Sweet Tooth episode three. We're to three? Is it three?
Issue three,
yeah. So, like we said, we're not going to do the whole thing, but... I think there's only five issues in the first arc, so...
I believe you're right. It's either five or six. We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, and then next thing we'll be on to something else. We'll think of something. I guarantee you will.
Yeah.
Look, let's just dive right in. We've got some comic book news. The biggest one is with our man Henry Cavill. Is
our favourite.
Equipping the claws, the Wolverine claws in Deadpool 3, aka Deadpool and Wolverine. So what do you think of that, Ryan? Are you excited?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I was a bit surprised because I mean, for someone of his stature and his ability, the fact that he's essentially just kind of at the moment, he's going to be a Wolverine variant.
Yes.
Which is what we're seeing at the moment.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, maybe he just wanted to commit to something small to dip after the DC issues. Maybe, you know, he just thought, look, let me see how these guys operate. I'll just jump in and do a small essential cameo role.
Yeah.
I think he wants to maybe just dip his toes in and see how he feels with how Marvel run the ship and how Marvel run things compared to DC. And then if he's happy with that, he might obviously go for a bigger role.
Yeah. Well, it does say...
Something like we discussed, like Cyclops or Captain Britain or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it does say in this article that Wolverine variant is a one-off, but there are rumors that he could also play other characters in the MCU, so...
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, as I say, multiverse, you can explain it all away kind of thing. Yeah. I think he's just, you know, he's going to see how the company operates, how it all works.
Yeah.
Kind of like giving them a probation period, you know, to make sure that they know what they're doing, they know how to treat, like how to, no, I don't want to say treat stars because he's probably the most down-to-earth guy out there, but to give him an idea of, you know, how Marvel runs a business and in the movie universe and stuff, and then he might go, you know what, I'm in for more.
Yeah. No, I think he'd fit right in. Definitely. I mean, since we started talking about him being Cyclops, I'm going, just do it. Just do it. He'd be really good. Definitely. Sticking to the Wolverine theme, the other bit of news, it actually came out probably a few weeks ago, but it's reported that Hugh Jackman has only one condition for him to appear again as Wolverine in Secret Wars, and that's he wants to interact with Robert Downey Jr. and Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
You know, I think...
absolutely no issues with that whatsoever.
Yeah, you know. I think because way back when, he was supposed to have a cameo in the first Spider-Man.
He was supposed to, was he?
Have a cameo, yeah, as Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
In the first Spider-Man. But I think, like, there was a mix-up with the costumes or something. And so he had his costume, and then like it got lost. Also, there's a trivia thing on it, but yeah, but apparently like there was a screw up with the wardrobe, and then he couldn't do it. But that would have been pretty cool. That would have been pretty cool.
It would have been definitely. Now, when you say the first Spider-Man movie, are you talking Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Oh wow, that far back.
Yeah. So when he was actively Wolverine in the X-Men movies, yeah,
that would have also connected the two universes too.
Yeah, that would have been amazing, which I really didn't think about doing back then.
No, I don't think crossovers was on anyone's mind, really. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we didn't even have Arrow back then, you know. So like I think that was really the first major crossovers in the superhero world was the Arrowverse ones that they did every year.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously with the MCU and everything. But yeah, look, I'm excited, and I was already pumped for this movie anyway.
Yeah.
And this is just another reason to be excited for it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Other bit of news you may or may not know. So Peacemaker season 2.
Yep.
Apparently season 1 is no longer canon.
Correct.
Correct.
I did read that yesterday.
Yeah, and season 2 is coming out after the new Superman movie, so.
Yeah, and apparently that is canon. Season 2 is going to be canon, but season 1 is not.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Which is good, which means you don't have to, if you haven't watched season 1, you don't have to. I'm saying it, not discouraging you from watching it because it's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. And, you know, in that retrospect, they're already beating Marvel because, you know, whenever you want to watch the Infinity War, you've got to go back and watch 25,000 movies. and James Gunn's like, you know what, you don't need to watch season 1 of this show.
Yeah.
We'll just start with season 2. We'll give you an update. And, yeah, so good for him.
So that, and other than that, something we briefly touched on last episode with Chris, the last Ronin 2 issue 1 sold out, and so it's now in its second printing.
Wow. Did you order first printing?
I have first printing. It is sitting on my, no, it's actually in my bag packed for when I'm going away so I can get into it. I started reading it, but I didn't finish it. There's so many words. It's like there's a lot of
Like you said when you messaged me that after reading Jeff Lemire, anything has a lot of words.
Yes, I was just like, geez, you don't have to tell me everything. Show me some stuff. It has a very cool, basically a flashback kind of thing where it takes you through first generation Turtles and so it has an old school kind of style of. Artwork like the original, and then it goes into the IDW, and then it goes into Last Ronin, and then it goes to this is where we're at now, kind of just over a few pages, and it's just like really cool.
Quick question: so to read the Last Ronin 2, do I need to read the Lost Years?
No.
Okay.
Because like I just said, you know, it takes you to, it kind of explains the history for you, but. But no, I think Lost Years would be like the micro series in IDW, like where they'll go. They might go, hey, go read this for more information about, you know, like the mute animals and stuff like that, you know.
Okay, well that's good because I do have the Lost Years. I haven't read it. Obviously, we've all read Last Ronin Part 1. Yeah. But yeah, I'm keen to get into it, into the sequel, which I knew was coming out. And it actually quite surprised me that it came. Like I was on my comics book page, and I'm like, oh wow, okay, it's here. You know, because of all the delays with the first one.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully this one will be a little bit more frequent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I subscribed, did a subscription thing to the comic book website that I get stuff from.
Yeah.
And so basically, I don't even have to think about it. It's automatic transaction. Here's the next one. You know.
That's good.
So.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait.
So you haven't read it yet? You're waiting till you go away?
I've read half of it, and it was kind of like...
Okay.
I wasn't in the mood for reading so many words. You know, it was like a lot of words.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah, like I said, you know, when you're coming from Jeff Lemire to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Who still tells an amazing story, but because he's an artist as well, he uses panels and he uses art to portray the story and puts emphasis on the few words that he does write.
Yes.
Like, I honestly think Jeff Lemire is one of the few comic book writers that could do a silent issue. which is like an issue with no words, and actually it doesn't matter. You would still be able to feel and understand everything. So, which is a massive compliment for a writer.
No, he is brilliant. Yeah. He's a very, very humble guy. I've seen a few interviews with him.
Oh, definitely.
You'd just be able to get along with him so well.
Yeah. Yep, I think so.
And he's not that old, too. I thought he was.
No, he's not. He started very young. So, yeah, he's not that old at all.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Jeff Lemire, let's crack into Out of the Deep Woods, Part 3. Another cracking issue. A lot of similarities to the show. An introduction of a new character who is in the show, and she's completely different character at all, like completely different character. But we'll get to her. So same deal as last time. Now, Brian, there is a little bit of a cameo in here, like just it's a one worded poster on a wall. I wonder if you noticed it on your read through.
Well, I haven't. Yeah, actually haven't, because I'm having issues with my internet here in the hotel I'm staying in. I haven't actually been able to read it, so I was hoping to be able to go along, but it's taking forever to load. So I'm happy. I have read it a long, long time ago, so it'll probably all come back to me as you just talk about it anyway.
They don't reference it in the synopsis, but it is a Batman poster on the wall of a...
Oh, nice.
And it says Batman, nice. and it looks like Adam West Batman.
Oh, Adam West Batman. I think he's my third favorite Batman, so that's good.
Well, it's in Jeff Lemire's style, so I think he's just like, I just look at it and think, Adam West.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. All right, I'm going to crack into this, and let's talk about this awesome, awesome issue. So Gus walks down the street with a weakened Jeopard. If we remember last time we talked about it, he, got into a fight and he's just bled out and basically in and out of consciousness. So Gus walks down the street with a weakened Jeopard riding on the top of a horse. He thinks about how everyone dies, which means everyone ends up alone. Gus pulls over to spend the night in a barn. Jeopard is delirious and mumbles the name Louise. I'm sure that will come back. That will come back.
Yeah. No, he just mentioned it. It's one off. We're never going to hear about it again.
Oh, yeah. Like a modern Marvel movie. Okay. So Gus heads down the street to check a nearby house for supplies. He finds the residents are already dead. He finds a small boy's corpse clutching the book. Dandy. He grabs the book and heads back to the bar. Now, that room where he found the book, Dandy, Batman's poster on the wall. Gus returns and speaks to Jeopard, who is still out of his mind from losing blood. When Gus falls asleep, this is so cool how he did the falling asleep, how it's just like the eyes fainting and then just like a black, blank, black panel. You're just like, oh, he's asleep. So it leans into the dream stuff, which is again something that happens in the show a lot. Gus and his special dreams. Yeah, so he basically enters the dandy book, which is about a deer, and Dandy starts speaking to him, warns him in his dream that Jeopard is a bad man and he needs to run away. Suddenly, demon wolves bark and scare Dandy off in his dream. Really good panel there too. That's freaking terrifying.
Definitely.
Yeah. Jeopard wakes Gus up because of his bad dream. He rebukes him for eating all the candy. Gus stands up to him. Gus stands up to him. Jeopard appreciates that Gus grew a pair and went to get the food and stitched him up. So Gus did a good job. Gus thinks back to how his father taught him the 5 golden rules. He thinks about how he's broken almost all of them since he met Jeopard. The 5 rules are: 1, never have a fire during the day. People will see the smoke. If you ever see someone besides his dad, run. Pray every day so the Lord doesn't make him sick. Pray for his mum, who was the prettiest lady ever, and never leave the woods.
And like you said, he's broken pretty much all of them.
Yeah, all of them. So as they enter town, they find like hundreds of dead bodies piled together.
Yep.
They suddenly hear a noise in a nearby building. Jeopard breaks in and they go inside and find a bunny hybrid girl named Becky. And that's how the issue ends.
Yeah. That said, another issue with, you know, we're learning more and more about Gus, and you that's essentially how Jeff Lemire does it. He's reaching back to anime roots, and he's teaching us through flashbacks.
Yeah.
About Gus, because, you know, Gus kind of gets thrust upon us.
Yeah.
In the start with not little to no information, but like a fair bit of mystery around him. And you'll find as the issues go on, we learn more and more about Gus, and with these flashbacks and dream sequences from his father, and we find out all about, you know, the time that he's been raised.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Lemire does a really good job, a good way of doing that. I said he tells his story by word, story by pictures. And if you haven't got it, I would definitely recommend getting Sweet Tooth, even if you just buy a couple of volumes or you buy the omnibus, because the art, it's worth the price of admission for the art alone. Jeff Lemire has a very unique style. You won't really see this style with any other artists. You know, you won't see anything like that. Because he's kind of honed his talent, and his signature, so to speak, the way he does his characters. And you'll notice when you read his Justice League Dark run, even though, yeah, we've got, you know, Constantine, Zatanna, all these characters that have been around for a very long time, he kind of puts his own little signature art on that. So they don't quite look like what you used to, but they do look just enough for what you used to be. Just for people who are like, oh, that doesn't look like Constantine. There's always those people. You know, you can never make everyone happy. That's what I really like about him. I really like his own art style. And when he's doing something original like Sweet Tooth, or, you know, Underwater World was another really good one of his. And he did a really good run. And another, sorry, I'm going to probably cost you money, Jamie, but he does a really good run on the new 52 Swamp Thing as well. I believe he's the writer and artist of that. And that works perfectly with his art style. Like, even if you just Google a few images, him drawing the hulking Swamp Thing in the marshlands and all that kind of, it really fits in with his art style, and it looks absolutely amazing. So I think he did a 12 or 24 issue run on that when the new 52 came out, because when the new 52 came out, they really, a lot of writers and artists were pulling double, triple, quadruple duty. Yeah. They were, you know, saying, hey, these are the books, we're starting fresh. What do you want to work on? And they kind of just went from there. And that's where I think, you know, Jeff Lemire made the right choice with Justice League Dark, because he's really good at doing that dark horror stuff. And that's again why it works for Swamp Thing, because he's essentially in that class of characters. I think Jeff Lemire's artwork is amazing. And as I said to you, he could be one of the few artists that could do a silent issue, and you would still get just as much story as you would from someone who wrote an issue. And I think that's a really good compliment for him. Not that he needs my compliment, but I think, you know, in my opinion, someone who's able to do that and still get the story through with the art as well as minimal words, and has always got my vote.
I'm fastly becoming a huge fan. I'd totally geek out. Like, I mean, I met Kevin freaking Eastman, you know, and that was me going, you know, but
essentially you've just confirmed what this podcast is all about. It's about making you and our listeners fans of artists and writers that you may not have heard from, but we've already done the work. We've done it. And I, you know, as I said, I've known Jeff Lemire's work for 20 odd years. And that's exactly what we want to get through with this podcast. We want to get you guys to jump out of your comfort zone a little bit and go, you know what, I've never actually read or heard of this artist / writer, but I'm going to give it a go because these guys are talking about it. And, you know, there are places online where you don't have to have money. You can not, and I'm not saying illegal, but there are places online where you can read comic books online.
Yeah.
You know, you're not downloading them, so you're not sort of taking money away from people. But there are places where you can go and check it out. And if you're a bit weary, oh, I don't want to spend $60 on an omnibus or whatever it is, you can always jump on sites like Read Comics Online and check out a few issues for yourself. And then you go, you know what? I actually want to buy the volumes. I want to buy the level, the omnibuses. So, yeah, look, I couldn't. I'm loving this podcast. I'm trying. My turn to pick one next. So I'm racking my brain for a few to go around. But yeah, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really, really enjoying this. I know you guys listening, the episodes are a little bit shorter, but I think that's, you know, we do some long episodes with our author interviews and our our what I like to call the union with you, me, and Chris. That they tend to go a lot longer. So if you've only got a short commute and you want to listen while you're on your way to work, and these are the episodes for you, you know. We try and keep them around the 30, 40 minute mark. So we've got a chance to talk about some of the news and then obviously delve into the issue itself. But yeah, I'm really glad you like Jeff Lemire because he's done so much good work out there. I don't think he's appreciated half as much as he should be. I would love to see Jeff Lemire write and illustrate a Batman comic because he's really good with that, the darkness and the mystery and the horror aspects, even if it was just a limited series or something. I would love to see that. I'll definitely be something I'd spend my money on.
Yeah. Well, I'm hooked. What's the the first time you found Jeff Lemire? Like what series, what comic was it?
It was the Justice League Dark. Yeah. It was a Justice League Dark because I was into comics while I was going through school. And then I kind of fell out for a bit. And then I came back to comics with the New 52. I started with DC, obviously, because my love for Batman and everything. I started with DC and got back into the New 52 and really, really enjoyed it, and then got back into Marvel and then went down the independent route as well. So, yeah, definitely with Jeff Lemire, for me, it was Justice League Dark in the New 52. And then I was also listening to another podcast, which I don't know if they're still around. They're called Talking Comics. I used to do reviews for them.
Oh, wow.
I used to review comics for them. One of their people was a really, really big Jeff Lemire fan, and he'd read some of the independent stuff, and he mentioned the independent stuff. And so I went and checked that out. And, as I said, just every title I read, I fell more and more in love with his work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I said, if you just look at his – I don't think he's ever had a bad comic. So, I'm sure there's ones that I haven't read, but I've read most of them. And I think he's a damn good writer and he's a damn good artist. So,
welcome to the Jeff Lemire podcast.
I really hope we see a lot more from him in the future.
Yeah. So with the next one, whatever comic we do next, well, it's up to you to get me hooked on another artist. Because look,
it's been a pretty full on couple of weeks here, but I'm thinking, I'm rattling my brain. I'll come up with something that won't disappoint.
Yeah, and it's also got to be I got to get about to get a hard copy because that's what I do. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'll do it. I do have a lot of hard copies at home, so once I get home, I'll have a look and I'll go, yeah, okay. Well, if you don't have it, I can always lend it to you.
Because really, really, what all this podcast is Ryan teaching me stuff. Because
it's expanding your mind and your comic knowledge, which is great.
Yeah, because I love comics, but I've never really dived into comics. Like, obviously, I read a few comics probably my earliest comics would Ninja Turtle related. It'd have to be Ninja Turtles or Spider-Man. My earliest, stuff. But then, as soon as the Marvel MCU started, it was just like, that's when I started getting into it. Because it's much like when I watch a true story or a history, a movie about a historical event, I want to know everything about it. So I go deep diving into, all the inaccuracies and the disappointments and stuff like that. But at least with comic books, it's like I find it's just cool that there's so many different versions, so many different takes on things. Like that just seems to be what the comics are about. How many ways can we tell this story? How many ways can we tell this character? How many different styles can we draw this character? That, that sort of thing.
And that's it. And that's it. Growing up, as I said, when I was initially into comics, when I was going through school, Jim Lee was my guy. He was – everything that Jim Lee drew, I would try and get a hold of. And Geoff Johns was the writer that I would follow because he's just an amazing writer. He's done what, in my opinion, the best Aquaman run coming out of the New 52. He did the best Aquaman run that I've ever read, and I've read a lot of Aquaman. And he was also a producer on the first Aquaman movie, which we all loved. But, essentially – I guess I was game enough to, you know, risk it on some of the independent stuff and some of the unknown. You know, everyone knows Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, all that kind of thing. But I was always one to delve into those, but also into some of the lesser known stuff. And from that, there's been some bad ones, but from that, I've got more good reads than bad, you know. And then obviously I find someone, and then I'm like, oh, what else have you written? And I'll go and get that as well. Look, it's the good thing about comics is, you know, you know, even if you don't like something and you've just read one or two issues, it's not like you're reading a book. It's not like you're committed that much. You know, you can read two issues and that's 60 pages.
Yeah.
And if you don't like, I generally have a rule of three. It's same for TV shows, same for everything. I'll give it three issues. And if I'm not hooked, or if I'm not like, oh, I really need the next episode, next comic, I'll stop, because they are expensive. But I always recommend giving something at least three chances.
Yeah.
You know, I do the same with TV shows. You know, I give three episodes. If I'm not hooked, if I'm not like, I can't wait for the next episode, then I'll jump off, because God knows we've all got a massive backlog anyway.
Yes. Resident Alien. That's my thing at the moment. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I'm literally just like, I'm trying to get my internet sorted so I can stream the latest episode, which is, I really wanted to watch today.
Yeah. It's halfway through season three now. No word on season four, but
oh, I saw something. Really? Something people are like petitioning.
Oh, that's good.
Petitioning. Yeah, it was on the Resident Alien group on Facebook. I think I invited you to join ages ago.
Yeah.
There's an article or something talking to the creators and stuff like that. Yeah. So fingers crossed. I mean, I'd love a sec. Even if they just do a 10 episode season here. And then another 10 episode season. I mean, I believe there's plenty of material. I don't think they're at the stage like Supernatural was, where you're like, okay, enough's enough. Yeah. I think there's plenty more options they can explore.
Look, I'm happy if five seasons is solid. If you can get five seasons, I'm happy with that. I won't be overly disappointed. But it's the Seinfeld thing. It's like you got to finish on a high. Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, especially now, we're talking, most of our shows we watched growing up were the full 23-episode seasons.
Yeah.
And now if you're doing, say, five seasons, it's essentially going to be a 10-episode or 13-episode season. So it's less for us to watch. But, look, I agree. I can't agree. Like, we recently finished, I was telling you, I rewatched Sleepy Hollow, four seasons, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, happy with it. You know, it's... But look, Resident Alien, I would be happy if they ended up finishing at a season five. That would make my day.
Yeah, it really would. It really would. I'd love to be on set, just witnessing Alan Tudyk. I mean, they'd probably ask me to leave because I'd be laughing. So,
yeah,
some of the comedy is just insane.
Role was meant for him.
Yeah. Like on this episode, like I'm sure you've seen clips of or something. So there's no real spoilers, but he's kissing the bird chick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so terrible at kissing. And like, it's just, you're like, I don't know how they do that with a straight face. And I was going to say,
watching the last episode, watching Harry attempt to flirt was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And that had me in stitches watching that. He's like, but at least it was another alien that he was trying to flirt with. Yeah. Not human, because then it just would have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's final thought before we wrap up. We can actually probably do like more rewatches if you want, like of comic book shows, and compare them to the books. So that is just an idea I'm spinning off my head right now. But like that sort of thing, like compare the show to the comics, you know, things we like, things we don't like.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that's just another option out there if there's, you know, other things you're thinking about, that sort of thing. But and listeners, we do this for you guys just as much as we do it for ourselves. So any requests, any ideas, any things that we may not even heard of, heck, even if you're a comic book artist or a comic book writer yourself and you want to come plug your comic book, just hit us an email at thetrueandthefictional@gmail.com or stories_podcasts on Instagram or on Facebook as well.
Yeah, feel free to send us a message on Instagram.
Yeah, reach out. Reach out. We are very approachable. Like we said, these sweet tooth episodes are going to be pretty short because it's just how Jeff Lemire his style, his show not tell, no tell not show, yeah. show tell. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's phenomenal, and I challenge you to find anyone you know I like more at the moment.
Nothing bad about Jeff Lemire, but that's a challenge I can definitely get behind.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm sure I will.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.